Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rights and Beans Podcast. We're out in the street here. We decided to get a little burrito taco intake and some cerveza too. I can't show you the name, I guess. What the fuck? Who cares? Very good. Chester and Big O out here in the great city of Whittier, California, out near LA, just enjoying a fine night, beautiful weather, enjoying some good food.
All right, guys. So like Big O said, we're out and about. We're getting something to eat. And this one's, since we're out and about and eating, I think this one should probably be about food. I did some cooking, you know, back in the day. I started off young, and so it was cool because not a lot of my friends cooked. And so when I started dating, that shit really came in handy because, like, again, a lot of my friends didn't cook, but I did. And so I remember that I was dating this one chick, and she was really fucking hot, and I was really trying to show off. And she goes, "So what do you cook?" And I'm like, "Oh, cook anything. Like, what do you like?" And she's like, "Oh, I like Italian food." I was like, "Fuck, me too. Pizza's like one of my favorite fucking things ever." And she's like, no, like real Italian food, like gnocchi. Do you like gnocchi?" I'm like, "Yeah, I absolutely like gnocchi." I'm like, she's like, "Can you cook that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can." I'm like, "What time are you gonna come over for dinner?" And she's like, "Oh, what time should I be there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we'll try like 8-ish." So I get home from work, I'm already running late. Had to fucking make room in the fucking tank because lunch took up a bunch of space, and so that set me back another fucking 30 minutes. And so then I finally get to fucking cooking, right? And it's making gnocchi is not easy. It's a complicated pain in the ass if you've never done it. It was the first and only time I'm ever gonna make it, so I'm going through the process. And I'm fucking making it, and I got these new fucking pans and pots that I haven't used before, right? And so, another, like, no-no, like, you shouldn't, like, you know, go to battle with an untested weapon. Well, you apparently shouldn't make gnocchi with untested pans, because the pans not only singed everything I put in them, but then if I didn't have the fire up hot enough where it was gonna singe, then it, like, completely didn't cook anything. So, it was an uphill battle all night. So I'm making it, end up burning my hand and the sauce at the same time. Had to remake the sauce like 3 times because I went to go medicate because I had burned my hand, and then with blowing in hand forgot that there was sauce on the stove. So that burned twice. Came back, fucking, she walks in maybe like 5 minutes before I'm done. Before I'm done making the sauce again. So as she's coming in, I almost burned it a second fucking time. So she finally gets there, and we have dinner, and she goes to eat, and I'm like, "All right, moment of truth," looking like I've made this before hundreds of times. And she goes, "Oh, this is really good, thank you." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." I'm like, yeah, I've, you know, made a bunch of times, and, you know, it's good, I like it. And so I go to bite into this thing, and it's like a pencil eraser. it's chewy, it's doughy. I don't really care for it, but I'm sitting here faking it. I've ordered it in restaurants after that, right? And I thought, okay, maybe I just fucked it up, and I don't know how to cook gnocchi. No, apparently I know how to do just a fine job of cooking gnocchi. I just don't like it, and so I learned that one the hard way too. But hey, you live and you learn, right?
So I've been told my stories run long by somebody. So in any case, I'll try to keep this one short and sweet. You know, on the food thought, I can remember a time when I was just before high school, my uncle had bought a pig. He named him Arnold, like Arnold Ziffel from Green Acres. Love that pig. And that pig I helped raise. So, you know, never name your animals that you're going to eat. Let's start off with that. He raised that pig, and I came over and pet it, played with it, and fed it a few times myself. And then one day I come in, and my uncle's crying. It's like after school, so like 3:45 or so. and he's crying up a storm, and he's just bawling his eyes out. I'm like, why are you crying, Tio Jorge? He's all, oh, it's time. I'm like, it's time for what? You'll know. I'm like, what are you talking about? This was like on a Friday. He goes, just come over tomorrow. I'm like, okay. So I come over the next day, and it's a bunch of the guys, his friends, you know, and they got a pit out back with a copper pot sunk into the ground. And this beautiful succulent pork just cooking in this big vat of oil. Come to find out, Arnold was dinner that night. We're eating chicharrones, we're eating jamon, we're eating all slices of that pig, and he's crying every bite, every morsel. He's crying up a storm. Best goddamn pig I ever had that night.
So, another one for you. Being a musician a long time ago, you get to kind of hang out and like go visit other musicians that, you know, don't live in the area. Guys that are in your band that, you know, moved out, you know, moved away. So I remember one time me and my brother were going to go visit the bass player, and at this time he's living up in the Bay Area, right? So it's from LA to the Bay Area, about 6 hours. He comes and picks me up after work, and it's like 5 o'clock, so dead a rush hour. And it already takes 6 hours to get there with no traffic. So we turned that fucker into like a 7.5 hour drive. So we're needless to say, we're like starving by the time we get up there. Oh, bass player's a single dude, college student. Doesn't have any fucking food. Like, he has jack shit in his fucking fridge. He's got like beer, ketchup, a package of the little Smokies sausages, an egg or two.
That's about it. Eggs there?
In his fridge, he had an egg. He had, well, like 2 eggs, a little package of like little Smokies, and not much else other than condiments, right? So, you know, my brother's in culinary school. He's learning how to, you know, put things together. So he's like, all right, well, let's go to the store. So we go to the store, we go walking, and mind you, I'm high as shit at this time. Like, they were trying to figure out food, I was trying to figure out like where my other fucking joint went. Funnily enough, I had smoked into the car on the way up there, so that's another story. But so I'm high, we're like walking to the grocery store, right? And it seems like we're walking for fucking ever, and we're really not. It's like 5 minutes has gone by, but I'm like so high that it feels like I went to like Switzerland and back for fucking food. And so we get to the grocery store, and we're like walking through the parking lot, and like I see like a bunch of hookers, and they're like, you know, everywhere in that area, but there happen to be like more at this one spot than the rest of the streets. So we go, the grocery store's closed. I'm like, fuck, okay, now what? Walking back, there's a liquor store, like a little convenience, like 99 cent store, but mostly like liquor and beer, and then they've got some like select grocery items if you're lucky. So we walk in there, my brother starts picking some shit off the shelf, and I'm like kind of just looking around, scoping it out, and there's hookers doing their grocery shopping, their late night grocery shopping at this fucking liquor store, convenience store, getting like milk and eggs and other things whores need. So, you know, and it's so. He grabs a bunch of bullshit off of this fucking shelf, right? And it's just random stupid shit. And I'm like, I thought we were going to make food. He's like, I got you. Just relax. So we head back. And again, feels like I should have left a breadcrumb trail because we've been walking for fucking 10,000 hours. But it hasn't. It's only been 10 minutes. I was just really, really high. So back to the apartment. I got back to smoking. My brother gets to cooking. Well, like 20 minutes later, we have liquor store jambalaya. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty fucking good. He cut up the little smokies, he put them in there. I guess the boxes that he was getting, he was grabbing boxes of rice-a-roni, so instant stuff, so because like, bass player, again, didn't really have too many pots or pans to cook with. So he threw us together in about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Other than the, you know, like the trip down Hooker Alley to get to the fucking grocery store that was closed, that was like, I think, the majority of the time, because right when he got back, like, we threw that thing together pretty quick. And we're fucking, the munchies had kicked in again, so like, the timing couldn't have been better. But yeah, so if you're ever in college, you're really hungry and don't have a fucking grocery store open, look for some rice-a-roni, some little smokies, an egg, and some frozen vegetables or vegetables in a can, and just strain them and throw them all together and make you some jambalaya.
Sure. Yeah, so I kept the first one short. This one's going to be a little bit more extended version. So I worked for the cable company out here in California. I was a California boy before I was an Arizona boy. And when I first started, I actually knew how to install cable and do all the whole thing. But I had to dovetail with somebody and learn the whole sequence of events of what you have to do. So we go out, and as everybody knows, you have a lot of people that are on, you know, Medicare and Social Security and all this other stuff that are getting payment from the state and whatnot. And a lot of people allow their bill to lapse and have their cable turn off. And then when they get their money at the beginning of the month, they go ahead and purchase their cable again. Well, we were going for a disconnect. And, you know, that's kind of disheartening, especially when you grow up like I did, you know, in poverty, and, you know, when lights turn off and water turns off, you know, your heart stops and you don't know how to pay the bill. So we go to this house, actually a trailer home, and this old Mexican woman was living there. And I just kept apologizing. I don't know what I could do. It was in my head to apologize. You know, I felt bad for her. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she told me everything was okay. It's just everything she does during the month. So it was nothing out of the normal for her, which reassured me. So then I go ahead and disconnect her cable.
I can't accept that.
And then...
Thank you.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. So then, you know, I have to disconnect her cable, and so we go ahead and do this off the pole. And after we're done with that, you know, she calls us over, and, you know, I thought, in my head, I'm thinking she's going to yell at us. But she already reassured me, so, you know, I get out of that guilt trip, and she opens up her trailer door, calls us over, and she has 2 7-ups, ice cold 7-ups, you know, I'm like, all right, cool. And then she gives us 2 tamales. And she asked me, do you like tamales? The guy I was with, she knew. So she always gave him tamales. I'm like, I love tamales. She goes, we're going to love these. She goes, I put some mole in there. Well, my grandma makes wonderful tamales, right? But she never puts mole in. She's not a mole person. You're either a mole or you're no mole. Yeah, chop it up and make it into some guacamole. But, you know, it's a type of faction when you make mole. You can seriously screw up that sauce. If you do not know what you're doing, it will taste like shit in a pan. Well, this woman had angelic wings because her tamale was the best damn tamale I ever had. And in California, in a certain season, there's a lot of cloud, a lot of rain cover and whatnot. And the clouds had, you know, it was just dark, murky and whatnot. And I'm eating this tamale, and all of a sudden I get an olive, the mole, and the meat, and the tamale paste. And it was just like the clouds parted, the sun shone on my face as I held the tamale, and I heard angels go, aah! As I'm eating this thing. I could not get enough of it. I'm eating this tamale over and over again until I get to the husk, and I'm licking the husk, drinking the 7-Up. The guy I was with, Ben, he's just laughing his ass off. Did you like it? I'm like, no, it wasn't. The woman was so pleased that I loved her food that she gave me a hug, and I'm disconnecting her cable. How's that? I felt like shit, but I was full, and that tamale was awesome. You couldn't get around it. God rest my soul. If I had another tamale that was good like that, I'd be in heaven.
There it is. All right, so I got another story that involves food. I didn't cook it this time, and I guess somebody else cooked it for me the other time, too, so I can't really take credit for that. All I did was walk on a field trip to go see Hooker's grocery shopping. And Anyways, this is a much cooler story. So I'm working for this big company, and you know, we have these really big clients. They spend lots of money. So when they have things like contract renewals, take them out to these fancy dinners to celebrate. So we went to this place called the Chart House. Now, the Chart House is a franchise, very expensive, like, surf and turf restaurant. So, you know, we're in California. We took them to one right on the beach. Literally, like, we're sitting here, there's a wall, and then, like, right behind, like, where these cars would be at, that's where, like, the sand was, water coming up. Nice place. Kind of place you go if you want to get laid. So we're in there in a big group, bunch of executives, bunch of people with money. So get there, we start drinking. I start drinking, whatever. And so people are starting to show up. Everybody meets in the bar. And so we all have a couple of rounds of drinks, right? And then we go sit down, and eight people, nine people. And again, everybody gets drinks, right? So and the drinks aren't cheap. Mind you, so we're already racking up a couple hundred bucks or a few hundred bucks in just drinks alone. Then at time to order the appetizers. Tell me these motherfuckers didn't get one of every fucking appetizer this place had. Comes out, big old spread, takes two waiters to bring this fucking thing out, put it down, and I'm not gonna lie, it was really good. I felt no shame in eating any of it. I'm like, I wasn't paying for it. Plus, I put in a lot of hours, so I figured I deserved that. So we eat that, right? And then they bring out like the menus, the entree menus. Like, expensive steaks and lobsters and like expensive shrimp going all, like fish going all over. And then after that, I'm like, there's no way I could possibly eat anymore. And so then it's time for dessert, right? And so I'm like, they go, all right, dessert time, bring out the menus. I'm like, oh, there's no way I can eat. One of the executives looks at me, he's all, so I'm like, all right, cool, see what it's up. Well, dessert consisted of the expensive cigars and brandy menus, which was also really kind of cool because that's the first time I had seen that and got to do that for free. So they bring out these fucking expensive ass cognacs, and I'm like, I'll take a Remy. And I thought, well, you know, it was the like the Remy XO, and somewhere in the neighborhood of like $35 a glass. And so I'm getting to enjoy that, and that kicks ass. I love that. Until we finish, right? And then I got bored. People were like standing around talking and bullshitting, and I'm like, I was trying to go. And since nobody was moving, the bar was still open. I'm like, all right, fuck these people. I'm going to get a drink. So I go and I get a Moscow Mule. And then somebody sees me, they're like, oh, fuck, what are you drinking? I'm like, it's called a Moscow Mule. They're like, what is it? I'm like, you never had a Moscow Mule? They're like, no. I'm like, oh, here, try it. So he tries it. He's like, holy shit, I need one of these. So he fucking orders one. One more person comes over. They're like, what are you guys drinking? Moscow Mule. Let me get in on that. Fucking bartender. Another one, right? Fucking orders another Moscow Mule. And then, before I knew it, all nine people were in the fucking bar ordering fucking Moscow Mules. They didn't just do one. That would be fucking, that would make way too much sense, right? No. Five rounds of Moscow Mules on the way out the door after everybody just had steaks and lobsters and three rounds of drinks before and every appetizer on the menu during, right? So that bill, easily $4,000 or $5,000. So we breeze out of there.
It does.
And the next day, or my boss getting yelled at a lot, the CFO called him into his office, and all I heard was, are you fucking kidding me? Was what I heard right as the door was closing. And my boss comes out, he's all, I was all, what happened? He goes, that dinner last night. I'm like, oh, what'd you say? Well, I invited you to come with us. And I started laughing. I was like, what did he say? He's all, well, you heard all that yelling? He didn't like it. But that was one of the best business dinners that I've ever been on. I was like, living high. You want to say living high on the hog? Yeah, that was it. So it was a great treat. And just the fact that the boss got yelled at the next day, and his response was, oh, well, it was totally worth it. No regrets. Made it even better.
So yeah, on the business trip thing, so in 2013 I go out to Japan for my company, and we're there for 3 days for training. 3 days in Japan. Who does 3 days in Japan? This fucking sap. So we get out there, and I get sashimi for the first time. The fish is looking at me as I'm eating his flesh. Weirdest goddamn thing, but I ate it. It was delicious. We're eating, we're drinking sake like crazy. We're getting the tasters. Little Japanese woman bringing out a bottle almost as tall as her, pouring a perfect pour inside of a cup, inside of a box. So it's a sharing thing. You get the cup of sake that overspills into a box of sake. You drink the cup, and the box goes to a you know, a friend or, you know, whoever you're drinking with. So it's shared. So in any case, you know, we go out to dinner on the second night with NEC. Shouldn't have said that. In any case, we go out with them, and they're very lovely hosts, great people. We're drinking, we're having a good time, we're drinking sake and like crazy. And one other thing I didn't know about sake is when you're at a dinner outing with a business group, the person to the right of you pours your sake. Now, if you're an American group and you have people in the middle, somebody else pours their sake. You're visiting a person in their country, so you don't touch the booze. They touch it for you. So every time I'm drinking the sake, because I love sake, what can I say? It gets full. So I'm like, is this a magic cup? And everyone's looking at me in the middle of this conversation, and everyone looks at me like I'm a retard, which I am. And I go, no, seriously, is this a magic cup? And everyone goes, why are you asking that question? Because every time I look at my cup, there's sake in it. And everyone just dies laughing. Because everybody knows what's going on except for this guy, first time in Japan. Well, so I'm drinking sake. And then I decide, oh, I'm going to do a sake bomber. Well, traditional sake bomber is two chopsticks with the sake on the top. Everyone hits a table. Everyone has it. And whoever drops into the drink glass first, they slug it down. Well, I'm doing my own. I'm just dropping it in there and taking a shot. We're talking a big glass of beer with sake. And one of them, damn straight. And the guy that was showing us around, he's a higher up in our company. He goes, what are you drinking? I go, sake bomber. Which is a sake bomber? So I show him what a sake bomber is. He goes, I think I tried. So he puts it in there and takes a sip. This is like a little kid's taking a sip off a nipple. Oh, it don't taste good. You want it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So he grabs my cup and he starts to pour it. I'm like, whoa, party foul. What are you doing? You don't touch another man's cup. He goes, I give you the sake bomber. I'm like, give me that. And I slug it down. Now, about that point, he's telling me that he's not going to carry my fat American ass, which I am kind of huge. So in Japan, businessmen drink on weekends. And when they get drunk, they sit on the terminals at the train stations and just pass out, sleep it off. The police don't bother them. The train station attendants don't bother them. They just sleep. They stay there. He goes, you sleep on station. You stay right there until next morning. I'm like, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm Mexican. I drink you under the table. So that goes on. And I got a good buzz going on, but I'm not drunk. We decide, okay, let's go ahead and we're done here. You know, the businessmen pay for the whole meal. I'm more than certain we were above 5,000 yen because of the group that we were there. Well, 5,000 yen, I should say 50,000 yen. We were way up there. So we got as a group downstairs, and we're in a business park. Business park. We're talking business buildings. We're talking open forum walkway where it looks like there's no restaurants or anything. So as we go downstairs and we start talking, we decide we're going to go out for drinking. Okay, drink night. Well, the ladies at the group, they said, oh, well, we'll show you a good bar. We're like, okay. And one of the guys says, I'll go with you. Well, he was sick that night, and he ended up peeling away. So next thing we know, he's gone, and everyone's all, where's this guy? I'm not going to mention his name. And, he disappeared. He was sick. And the lady's all sick. I'm like, yeah, he was a sissy boy. They're all, sissy boy? What is a sissy boy? I'm sorry I'm doing a bad translation of the way they talk English, but that did really happen. So I take their English dictionary handheld, and I start typing in sissy boy. And lo and behold, it does have a definition for sissy boy. It says, one man who likes to dress like girl, act like girl, run around screaming like girl, kicking and screaming and can't do manly things. At that point, everybody in the group died laughing. And this is a bigger guy, bigger Texan guy. So, you know, thinking him as a sissy boy, the way it was described, with fingernail paints and everything, was great. Yeah, great. So they take us to this bar, and we're in this, like I said, this courtyard, a business courtyard, and we go to this pillar that's holding up this building. Lo and behold, that's an elevator shaft. We get in the elevator shaft and go to the third story, and it opens up to a freaking bar right there in this business building. So we go in there, and, you know, because we had a big group, they gave us our own little room. Everybody else in little tables all around this area, and there's a couple of smaller rooms. We get the big room. So we get the beer flowing, we get the sake flowing, we get the edamame, we get the fringe frio, the beto, we get it all, man. And we're drinking and having a good time. And the ladies go, we say kanpai, you know, cheers. I'm like, okay, kanpai. And then everybody's all, kanpai. I go, no, sissy boy. So everyone starts doing the cheers, sissy boy. Every drink we have, sissy boy, sissy boy, sissy boy. We're holding up our drinks, sissy boy. Next thing you know, the whole bar hears what we're doing in this room. And everybody in the bar starts yelling out, sissy boy, right when we do it. So cheers all around with sissy boy in this whole bar. The wait staff were laughing their butts off because some of them spoke English and translated Japanese to them. So it was wonderful. We had a wonderful night. That's about the time we said goodnight, went down the elevator shaft, and then we realized how drunk I was because I don't remember anything up until the point we got onto the train station platform where I put 700 yen, $7 in for a train ticket, and I got on the train. I remember the ticket. I remember getting on the train, and that's it. Then we got off on our platform in Shinagawa District. I don't remember getting off the train. I don't remember going down three flights of the stairs that I almost fell down, the guy said. I don't remember getting to the hotel room. I don't remember getting my key in the hotel room. And I certainly don't remember going into my hotel room. But they said that I was able to get my room number to the ladies behind the desk. I go to sleep, drunk. I have the window open because now I'm drunk with sake, which makes you warm and flush. I have the TV blaring with Japanese game show. I have the lights on because your key to get in there, you put in the wall to keep the lights on. When you leave, you take the key out, the lights turn off. You don't leave them on. And I fell asleep. This is about 12 at night. I wake up at 3 in the morning going, why the fuck is it so cold in here? Why is the TV so loud and why are the lights on? So I realized I had to take a piss. Well, if you go to the motel rooms there, everything's enclosed in the bathroom. So it's all wall-to-wall plastics that have a drain in the middle. So I didn't even bother to go to the bathroom because I had to go so bad. I just walked to the door where the door sill was and just peed all into the fucking bathroom. I was just all over the walls, everything else, man. That was done. I fell back asleep. Close the window, turn off the lights, turn off the TV. I wake up at 6:30 that morning, so I get ready for work, and I realize, oh yeah, I peed in the bathroom. So I took the sprayer and just hosed the whole bathroom down. Took my shower, cleaned up, got ready to go, got on the train and got to the hotel. Or not hotel, I'm sorry, to the business park where we were doing our training. And in Tokyo Harbor, every high-rise building has shock absorbers for the earthquakes. So this thing was swaying. And I had gone from a night of binging, and the ladies were asking me, are you okay? Are you hungover? I'm like, no, I'm not hungover. And the ladies are looking at me like, what? They didn't understand. I go, no, I'm drunk. Which they laughed for 5 minutes before they realized I was drunk. I hadn't oozed out the booze out of my pores yet. I was still plastered, and I didn't even realize it until I got to that place. Finally, I got some Motrin in me and just kind of, you know, ate some snacks, and I was able to level off. And then we had lunch at this yakisoba, the corner restaurant, and I asked for potatoes, and they gave me the sticky potatoes that was like snot, and I almost threw up right there. Greatest night ever in Japan.
All right, guys. Well, we are done with dinner, so we are going to get up on out of here. We hope you enjoyed this one. We enjoyed it. These tacos were amazing. We're at Tacos Desvelados in Whittier. If you're in the area, you might want to stop by and check this place out. Tacos and the burrito and pretty much everything we had here. It's fucking on point. Anyways, we are going to get up on out of here and get some more this season. Man, we'll catch you next time. Till then. Take a toe, watch all your worries go up in smoke.